running the union's accounting department at La Paz, organizing Punjabi and other workers during the chaos of the first elections under the Agricultural Labor Relations Act in 1975, then negotiating contracts and training staff and workers to administer them. And if that wasn't enough, then she decided to become an attorney without going to law school through the novel UFW Legal Apprenticeship Program and serving as a UFW attorney. The next three women that I'd like to recognize tonight come from humble origins from the San Joaquin Valley, Central Valley, farmworker communities. They inspired so many of us because of their fearlessness, their strength, and commitment. They all had farmworker backgrounds. The first was Carolina Holguin. After a personal appeal from Caesar, Carolina and her husband Carmen joined the 1960s Delano grape strike. Over the next six decades, Carolina was a steadfast activist in nearly every major UFW strike, march, boycott, rally, and demonstration from Bakersfield to Sacramento.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 2, KBOO's special programming campaign. Check out all the special programs we're bringing you in February and March at kboo.fm/thrills. Help us reach our goal of $17,000 by March 25th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text us. Type in KBOO to the number 44321. For the thrill of it all, keep listening.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we won't be throwing in any towels, dropping by the wayside, or chucking any sponges, because Devin and Ari will inspire us to believe quitting is not an option. Easy Street sounds nice, but the reality of life can be challenge after challenge. How many times have you said, "That's it, I'm done, I can't take this any longer"? If you're shaking your head, yes, then guess what? You're more resilient than you think because you're still here. In each situation, you're just a click away from unlocking the answer. So, before you succumb thinking you don't have another fight in you, listen to these two bright and beautifully strong women and their ever-evolving journey of perseverance. Well, hi, everybody. I am so excited to have Devin and Ari with me. Hi, girls. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I have been following this duo for a while. Now, let me tell you, one of them I've been following for a lifetime because I happen to be her mother. Devin is my middle child, my daughter who lives in Austin, Texas. Ari is her girlfriend and someone that I have been following, obviously, for the last year or so. But this duo just has some amazing things going on. And I really wanted to have them on Encouragementology because they're just that. They're encouraging. The work that they're doing, not only from just their start to all the transitions that they've done throughout their life, is pretty amazing. So, as any good story has a prologue, teaser, there it was. They're going to tell you all about what they've been doing. So let's kind of start, maybe not back at the beginning. I won't tell about diapers, Devin. So
That's a long way back.
Yeah.
Our ages here, Mom.
Yeah, right. We won't go that far back. But let's just kind of go to, you know, where you two intersected, which was actually, well, you both took the ROTC path. So let's start with the military. Who wants to go first and just kind of say how you got on that track?
Oh, I figured that one was going to be me. Yeah. So Ari and I met at Fort Hood. So we were both in the Army. Choosing the Army was kind of an interesting route for me. So realistically, I would love to sit here and say that I joined because I'm very patriotic and I wanted to serve my country, you know, and all of those nice things, which are not false. That just wasn't really the reason why. Essentially, I went against my mother's better wishes and I got a psychology degree, which we all know you can't do anything with without going to school for a longer period of time, which I didn't have the funds for. I didn't have the mental capacity for at that time. And so ROTC was a good route. You know, I was already a leader at work. I thought that would be really cool. And, you know, of course, everybody's seen the Army videos where they're kicking in doors and they're, you know, being a cool guy. And I, you know, I have a hero complex. So I was like, yeah, let's do that. I'll kick in a door. I'll take some names. I'm ready. Send me. And so I think that's kind of how I joined. How about you?
Me. So there was right back in Puerto Rico, so that's where I'm from. Kind of same thing. I got a degree in psychology, which as Devin mentioned, you can't do much with just that. And you know, coming from my family background where, you know, we didn't have the money to support me through college or anything like that, I wanted to earn my way through graduate school eventually. And I realized that ROTC and getting into the Army was a way to get those benefits, earn those benefits, and at the same time, do something that kind of aligned with psychology, which for me, I just wanted to help people. I just wanted to do something that had, you know, a deeper meaning and that it was based on service, which is why I wanted psychology, and the Army was helping me do just that, just from a different angle.
I would like to change my answer to that.
Well, I remember when Devin came to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing ROTC. Which branch of the military should I go into? And even though my father served, we really weren't a military family. You know, we didn't have those long, deep roots where I had any advice to give. So I said, listen, that's all on you, which I normally do. Devin's the middle child, so very independent. But I said, you are going to have to figure that out. I'm not really sure. How did that turn out? I want to know about how it turned out, but then also kind of relating to leading and psychology and how you used those skills in the military and kind of what you picked up as a result.
I think I can speak for both of us when I say I think the psychology aspect really did kind of set us apart from our peers.
Absolutely.
So Mariel and I both at Fort Hood were ranked very high among all of the other lieutenants we worked with. And not just by obviously those above us, but our peers as well. The psychology really helped because we were able to kind of like understand our soldiers better. Essentially, in the Army, unfortunately, there's kind of I'm the boss and this is what we're doing. That's that mentality. It's an authoritarian mentality stating that what I say goes, right? Doesn't really work in parenting, doesn't really work in leading. You know, there's a ton of statistics that point that out, which is what we learn in psychology. So of course, when we go to lead soldiers, I do the, hey, here's what we're doing and here's why. I'm going to tell you why. I don't really owe that to you. I'm your boss. But I'm going to tell you that so that you understand that, you know, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And that hopefully if we do deploy, that day does come and I have to make a really quick decision and I don't have time to tell you why, you're going to trust me. You trust me because I've told you every single time up to this point, this is why we're doing something. So you know that, you know, I'm not just making this up as I go. It's not just something that I feel like doing. You know, there is a purpose behind it. And that really served both of us really well. Our soldiers still call. I answered a phone call yesterday at Walmart, walked around with my headphones in talking to a soldier, you know, who's upset and wanted, you know, some more information about, you know, just certain Army things that would take too long to go into here. But, you know, and I'm trying to talk him through those. And I'm like, hey, relax, it's okay. You know, and he's like, ma'am. And I'm like, okay, we talked about this. I'm not in the Army anymore. My name is Devin. I'm just helping you as a friend. But you know, Mariel gets Christmas cards from her soldiers. They invite us to Thanksgiving.
You know, I'd like to think of why is buy. I mean, that's a great way to remember why is buy, B-U-Y. So buy in. Like when you're telling somebody the why, you're telling them that so they can buy into what you're saying. And I totally agree with that. You're going to get more longevity out of someone if they understand and have buy-in to what you're telling them. Did you think, I mean, she was speaking for you, but did you have anything to add on that too, Ari?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, something that I didn't necessarily know how to put into words back then, but I actually learned today in a real estate class that we went to today, that trust is based on character and competence. And I think in the military, a lot of people forget about character, right? They only think of competence. You need to listen to me. You need to do as I'm told because I am competent enough to be your boss. Therefore, do as you're told. But character is important to build trust. And so I believe that our soldiers listened to us and you know did the things that we needed them to do because we weren't only competent, but we also built trust through character, showing that we cared about them, showing that we would take the time to explain why we're doing what we're doing and why we're not doing what we didn't have to do. And so I think that was just something important to remember. Trust is based on character and competence. And that's something that I think we still use to today in our real estate careers as well.
I love that. Now don't go too fast. I don't want them to know all these awesome things you're already doing. But you know, the burning question is, you know, what is the experience for a woman, strong women in the military, but also gay women? So just kind of like, what was your experience? You're both very strong leaders. I know you personally, so I know that about you. But, you know, how did you approach it just coming out of kind of late in ROTC and all of a sudden you come here and you've got tons of soldiers, primarily men, who are answering to you? To give us a little insight there.
I think, so for me personally, being gay in the Army made it be, or it made it a lot easier to be a woman in the Army. And so if you were to talk to any straight women, I think they would have a little bit different experience than we did. Because though women in the Army have to prove themselves, that's one big thing. You have to prove yourself to your boss, to your peers, to your soldiers. I mean, no one trusts what you say right off the bat, which is nuts because we would see these, in my opinion, incompetent leaders, yeah, you know, who are males that could say something and just get away with it. Nobody questioned it. But, you know, the moment, you know, I give an order, you know, when I first became a platoon leader, that changed real quick. but, you know, as soon as I'd give an order, I'd ask a question, and everybody's kind of looking like, why? They're asking me why. You know, why do we need to do this? Why are you here? Why did they give us the girl? Yeah. You know, and you know, once they found out I was gay, now I'm one of the boys, which does kind of suck because that's what you get lumped in as. You're one of the boys. You're not seen as a woman anymore, which you have to play with, right? You have to play with that. That wasn't great with all of my other female peers that I was one of the boys now, so I got to do a couple different things, right? But you had to play on your strengths, and that's what I had. Right. So, you know, I had, as a platoon leader, I had 33 soldiers, all of which were male. I was the only female in my platoon. It also helped that, you know, you can't see me on a podcast, but I'm 5'11". And Army boys are not the tall ones. If you're looking for a tall one, go to the Air Force because they're not. I was there was one soldier who was taller than me. Everybody else was shorter than me. So I was a pretty dominating figure when I came in just with that, you know, and then being gay kind of helped, but being a woman was what set me back. I feel like if I had walked in with everything else and was a male, I would have been
a home run from the beginning,
the golden child of the battalion. And I wouldn't have had to work so hard. And again, you can't see this, but Mariel had to be, you know, had to have a little bit different approach because she's not quite as intimidating from a stature point. Mariel is 5'2". But what I will say really quickly is when I went to become a platoon leader, I went to the same company Mariel was in, and she was already a platoon leader. So she's a little older than I am. So she was a senior platoon leader about to be done. And I remember looking at her and wanting to be that kind of leader. Her soldiers absolutely adored her. I mean, they, and she had 13 guys, right? We're, you know, there's a bunch of things I could say about what kind of platoons we were in, but essentially they gave Mariel the bottom of the barrel, if you will.
I got the rejects.
She got the rejects, right? She got the platoon that didn't really make sense in the company. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they weren't the same job type as the rest of the soldiers. So they were different. And they give essentially crappy platoon leaders that position. And so they didn't even give her a chance. I mean, she walked out of the gate and they immediately sent her to the crappiest platoon that she could or they could. And she just owned it. I mean, they were, yeah, they called her mom. Yes, mom. Yes, mom. Everything, you know, and they look like chihuahuas, right? My sister's got chihuahuas that literally look at her with their stars in their eyes and they think she's the greatest thing ever. That's how these soldiers looked at Mariel. It was nuts. And so, and she, I mean, she'd say something and they'd do it. And she was friends with them up into a point. And you could see the point when they went a little too far, she laid down the hammer, they snapped to attention and they realized they had overstepped their boundary. And I thought, man, if I can act like that, I'm going to be golden. Right. And she did, you know, this was a platoon that would have never gotten a high ranking. You know, the leader that came from there, they just don't get it. You save that for a different kind of company, different kind of platoon. And Mariel got her top block rating. Should have never happened. That's never happened since. I've been there. I was there for 5 years. Never happened again. I watched it, you know, and then she went on to be, a higher ranking position. They gave her another crappy company now that you don't send these people to. So they just kind of, you know, let her have the bottom of the barrel again. And then she turns this into the top company in the entire battalion. How does that happen? And I was like,
I don't know. I need to know that. Yeah. That is a glowing reference, number one. Yeah. And I think that was not girlfriend, but peer. And
I swear, I thought all of this before I ever dated you. I promise.
For sure. But also, Mariel, tell us about that, but also would like to hear too, you already mentioned you're from Puerto Rico and you didn't grow up speaking English as your first language. And so, you know, here you are, as Devin already mentioned, 5'2" in stature, and, you know, you're young and you're commanding and you know, English is not your first language. So kind of give us your opinion about how you took over.
It was definitely very, very challenging because of all of the things you've mentioned. On top of that, there was also the cultural differences that you don't really think about, right? Coming from Puerto Rico to the continental US. So there was a lot to kind of adjust to and learn. So I was learning about the language still. I was learning about the Army still because I was a junior officer. And I was learning about the United States as a whole and then the culture. And so it was definitely very challenging, but it was kind of one of those things again where I just wanted to give the best of me to my soldiers. I thought they deserved that. And so I was just like, well, I can either be upset because I got the crappy platoon that no one wants, or I can be upset but work my butt off and make it the best that I can make it and give these guys, because they were all boys, give these guys, you know, the training and the knowledge and the tools that they need to hopefully eventually, you know, move on to better, greater things. And essentially, you know, there's one thing that people say in the Army that I think is very true, is like you always want to leave the unit or the position better than it was before you got to it. And so I wanted to make sure that anything I touched in the military was left better than it was before me, and hope that the person after me would do the same, which I mean,
they didn't.
Yeah, not always.
I was going to say, we can only hope. I doubt that's happening.
Not always, but you know, that's what you hope.
Knowing what you know now, if you had someone that was another woman, gay or not, coming into the military, what are, now that you're out, and we'll talk about that, what would you give advice to them? What would you tell them to establish themselves?
I would say, don't try to be a man.
Yeah.
Don't try to be a man. You don't have to be a man. You know, women can be leaders too. And embrace the type of leadership that comes with your femininity, right? For me, it was, you know, yes, I'm naturally a little bit more of like a tough love kind of person, but I'm also deeply caring and I'm deeply nurturing. And I didn't want to essentially, you know, avoid that part of me or try to keep that away from my soldiers because I needed to be a man and therefore I needed to be rude and mean and bad. And so, you know, embrace what you are, right? And if you're a woman and you're nurturing and you're caring, you can definitely lead from that place as well. And so don't feel like you have to be one of the boys.
I love that. That is so amazing. And what great advice. Now, both of these women, these strong women, I can't say girls, even though they're much younger than me, but these strong women both left the military as captains. So they reached their captain status. And then I don't want to take anything away from the beginning of their careers, because it was really difficult and they both persevered and left with huge marks and lots of awards. But they made a really radical turn right out of the military. So what do you do when you have spent the last 6 years or so in a constant state of structure? I don't know. What do you guys do when you get out?
Throw away the structure and you become a real estate agent and make your schedule.
Yeah, might I say, a fully commissioned real estate agent. So these girls went from their structure in the military to just hustling out there on the streets of Austin, selling. I can't make it sound bad because they are in an awesome area where everything is super high end. So they're selling luxury real estate in Austin, let's be honest. So they are pretty hip. They have done a lot in social media, but something recently this year has spurred on a new kind of a new duo team. So give us an idea of what happened in December, which caused your new social media sensation.
Oh God. Yeah. So December 26th, day after Christmas, we got home from Illinois from visiting you.
Yeah.
And we walked into our house and it was completely destroyed by water damage. The pipes, they freeze and yeah, there was just water all over. Our ceiling collapsed and essentially we lost everything that was inside the house. And it was shocking and it was obviously something that we weren't expecting. So our lives were kind of flipped upside down and kind of in a moment, right? And so we decided once again that, well, there are two things you can do. You can give up or you can keep moving forward, and giving up is never really an option to me. So we were like, okay, what do we have to do? How do we solve this? How do we work this? And then how can we make this something good? And we thought, well, we can definitely share our experience with people and let them know kind of like the process of the claim and how it goes, and show them the progress of the house from when it's down to studs to when it's complete, and essentially just make the most out of it as well, and make sure that we make the most out of that, and that our followers and our clients also get something out of it, which is the knowledge.
Yeah. And if you're not getting the picture, so it's 10:15 at night.
If you want. Yes. I'm a good storyteller.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead and tell us about the 10:15 at night pulling in. You had just had a conversation about goals and how you were going to start streamlining and cutting back. Okay, now go.
Right. Yeah. So we were having this great conversation in the car about new things we were going to do in real estate, right? We're reinvigorated. We went on leave, right?
It's like new year,
new us, new money. All right. We're excited. We got a lot of plans. We're going to buy another investment property. That's what we were talking about. So we get out of the car. It's like 10:15, 10:30, and it's pretty cold in Austin. It's like 36 degrees outside. So we're getting out of the car and we're stretching, right? We drove from Illinois. It's like 13 hours. We have Mariel's sister who just moved here. She's 19. She's from Puerto Rico. She does not speak English yet. So she's getting out of the car while stretching, and I hear a fire alarm going off. And I was like, oh no, the cat. The cat is in the house. We have so many pets, but one that we left behind was the cat. And so I ran up to the door and I could see the water pouring out from underneath the door. And I was like, oh no. I mean, I immediately knew that this was not going to be good. So Marielle comes up and she, you know, she's looking at me and we're like, okay, we got to get in the house. So we try to open the door and we can't. And so I end up shouldering the door in, right? And it is just, it looks like a hurricane and a tornado and a monsoon, everything all at once.
It's like raining inside.
And I mean, there's insulation, there's wires dangling, the cat is screeching. And it's just like,
because to let everybody know, the pipes are in, because you're built on a slab, all the pipes are in the ceiling.
Yeah,
so the entire ceiling came down.
Oh, the whole ceiling, 1750 square feet of ceiling. On the ground, hanging down, falling, actively falling. And Marielle and I go into officer mode. And this will all make sense of everything we've told you thus far, is we have two totally different styles, right? Marielle immediately, you know, no reaction on the face. She realizes she needs to turn off the water main, right? So she doesn't say anything. She's not like, oh my goodness, my house. No, she says, I'm going to go turn off the water main very calmly and walks away. And I, the other hand, am like, rescue mission. I'm going into the house, right?
Kicking in doors,
looking for this cat. As Marielle is now yelling at me, I haven't turned the power off. There's 6 inches of standing water. The power is on, there is dangling stuff. And I was like, it doesn't matter. There is a man in that, no man left behind. I will find this cat. And so we did find the cat, he's okay. But you know, once we turn off the water and it stops, it's just, it all hits, right? And I'm crying. We lost everything. And of course this 19-year-old who just flew over here to escape all the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, you know, what little she brought with her in a suitcase is destroyed. All of her little sentimental pictures with her grandparents and
letters
destroyed. So she's crying, you know, I'm crying, and Marielle is standing there making an insurance claim. No reaction, standing outside. And I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, I got the cat, threw him outside, we're good. So now I'm gonna find a bag and I'm gonna start getting.
I looked at you and Adriana and I was like, go get every important document that we have in the house while I put in this claim.
Right.
Please get passports, get social security, get birth certificates. And I'm sorry you're crying, but
you don't have time. Right?
This
Devin, Devin, stop calling your mom. She's asleep. She's not answering the phone. Like, go, you know. And so I'm like, okay, so we're getting all this stuff. And, you know, she sounds really cool. Don't let her trick you. I turn around and she's holding onto a PS5, trying to get it out of the house while I'm looking through documents. But yeah, so the entire house got absolutely wrecked. You know,
it's still destroyed. It's now, it's 3 days later, totally gutted. So mm-hmm. I want to get before, because what I think is so interesting is how, you know, two highly educated, strong women are saying, okay, we could go get a job. Like, instead of this hustling of real estate, we could go get a job. But instead, you stuck with it.
Right.
And I don't want to say, I love the word kind of like give up or soldier on. You guys weren't soldiers, you were leaders, but still, it's kind of neat. But anyway, you did this whole new campaign on social media, which is just fabulous. So tell everybody now who you are.
Oh, we're your homeless realtors.
We're
the homeless realtors, right? Because we're in a rental. This house is not going to be done optimistically for 6 months. So we are homeless. And so we've been saying homeless realtors work harder. We have to. We need your money. Right? We're going to work harder. We want that commission because we are trying to rebuild
our home,
our entire house. You know, it's all of our stuff, everything. There's no couch. There is no TV. Don't be looking for any of that.
There's
we got
ceiling.
Nothing.
There's no roof now.
Right? I may come to the listing appointment in a sweatshirt and leggings because that's all I got. But let me tell you, I'll sell that house. All right, I'll sell that house hard. Doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Trust me.
Yeah. Like, and it goes back to, you know, you got to play the hand that you were given. And so at that point, we're like, well, how can we
flip
this and make it into something positive for ourselves and other people? And so that's kind of what we came up with. And our marketer was like, I love it. Let's roll with it.
We're rolling.
I love it. It is so true. I mean, it's taking adversity and just putting a positive spin on it. And people can so relate to that. I love it.
Yeah,
and they, so you can, if obviously they're in the Austin area. So obviously if you're looking to buy or sell a house in Austin, they are the crew for you. But if you're just interested in real estate and buying or selling, they've got, like they said, so many tips on their site, and they're just super fun. Their video, they did a video a day for 14 days. It was 14 dates with Devin and Ari. And if you want to see like the best food places and the coolest places to hang out in Austin, they're doing it. So if you want to live your best life, or at least live it vicariously through two people doing it the right way, take a look at what they've got going on. I am so glad you guys told us your story. It was amazing. I'm wishing you the very best with the rebuild. I can't wait to follow along. Maybe we'll have you back on when it's done and you could tell us everything that you learned and what you might do differently next time. So any parting words for us and our listeners?
You've been the good one with like knowledge thus far. You want to drop some knowledge, use that degree?
No, I think, again, like we said, remember that trust is based on character and competence. And then also remember that you have to do or make the best with what you're given. And eventually, if you stick to that, things will look up for you. And I truly believe that.
I would agree. I would say giving up is not an option. As long as you take that off the table, you're good to go. That, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. Like my mom said, we keep calling them real people jobs. We have a job, but you know, a 9-to-5 salary kind of position, right? We could have done that, but we stuck with this because we like doing it. You know, we have a lot of fun. We love educating the community and the public, and we love, you know, all the things that come with real estate. And, you know, giving up on this wasn't an option. So we're just going to have to make it work. Does that mean we have to cut back on things we like to do? Or, you know, we have to go through 15 different meetings with different contractors to see who's going to fix our house? Yes, but we're not going to just lay down and give up. We haven't done that thus far, and we've gotten, you know, where we're at now by doing that. So as long as you just take giving up off the table, you will eventually find the path you're supposed to be on.
Absolutely. And lastly, no question is a dumb question.
No question is a dumb question.
Ask questions.
I love it. Thank you all so much.